Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
You're very welcome back to Saturday's Off the Ball. It's time for our Saturday panel, and I'm delighted to be joined in studio by former Mayo footballer David Brady, by the Irish Independence GAA correspondent Colm Keyes, and by All-Ireland winning Galway footballer John Dively, and a former Kildare player as well. And I guess really, if we're looking at Gaelic football at the moment, there's only one place to start, Colm, and what a week it was. Funnily enough, we had a Saturday panel last week about the football qualifiers, and we're kind of saying there's been no great controversy. The first month, 6 weeks of the championship have been dominated by hurling. There's been nothing really to get us overly excited. And then it all blew up on Monday, really, I think, when Keane O'Neill went on 6-1 and said, it is Newbridge or nowhere, we're not going to be in Croke Park on Saturday night. Were you surprised as to how it escalated, as to how big an issue it became?
I probably was, because I didn't think the GAA, having entrenched themselves in such a position to say it'll be Croke Park or nowhere, or this will be played on Saturday night at 7 with or without, that Mayo will get the game and that this game is going ahead and there will be no change. I was surprised at that, that they did back down in many respects, because there was a lot at stake for them and they are weakened by it. There is no question by that they are weakened by it and have probably misread the situation, even though their reasoning, you know, health and safety didn't stack up in the end, but their reasoning, I'm sure it was genuine, but at the end they've just misread it and didn't see that the will of the people and the Kildare people to get a game at home at their home venue was stronger than anything. And we've just mentioned there that Keane O'Neill going on the 6-1 news, well, more powerful words he probably has never spoke.
It feels as though there's a lot of injustices within the GAA at the moment, from home advantage for certain counties being taken away from them, from the time constraints being put on inter-county players, from the lack of competitiveness in Leinster championships, feeding all the way down to the club players, not having any championship games through the summer. Is it all starting to boil up now? Are we going to have almost Kildare set a precedent that actually, if you do take on the GAA, sometimes you can win?
Yeah, well, they have proved that, and you know, Kildare would be a county perhaps accused of not having a strong backbone in the past, maybe on the field of play, but they really, really showed defiance here, and with their stance, and you know, they had to honour their patrons down in their business people in Newbridge and their supporters in many respects, even though a lot of them won't get in to see the game, but. Advertiser, and they had to pitch for that. And having been turned over in 2012, you know, they weren't happy with that, having to go down to Portlaoise and come into Croke Park in the past. They felt it was worth making a stand, and they triumphed in that regard. And it is a significant turning point in many ways. You have to look at it like that, the way it has rolled out.
Were the GAA not right, though, that Newbridge and St. Conlon's Park simply isn't up to holding a championship game where there's going to be a demand probably for 15,000-20,000 tickets? It can only hold 8,000. It's ramshackle. It's been described as a bit of a kip by certain people. And regardless of what it does for the local community, and we don't want players being punished for the mistakes of county boards, likewise with Waterford and Walsh Park, ultimately, if the ground's not up to it, tough.
The ground probably isn't up to it. I don't think there's any disputing that. There are, I stand to be corrected here, but I think there's around 400 seats in St. Conlon's Park. I can't think of too many other grounds at that standard, or any, that have that few seats. It's not in great shape. I think anyone, and we know from stepping off the stand there, it is a very, very slow departure off the stand in St. Conlon's Park. It's a very narrow walkway at the front of the stand. There's a lot of things that go against it, but the principle of having a home venue was honoured here, even though the reasons and health and safety was put out. And I found it strange that health and safety became okay on a Wednesday morning when it was quite clear that that was the reason, or that was being put forward as the reason on Monday. And I think the lesson maybe for the GAA here is maybe fixtures can be made on a Wednesday morning now. We've seen that. These two fixtures were put out to different venues on a Wednesday morning 3 or 4 days beforehand. So you have to ask, why the rush? Why not take a little bit more time? And
well, that actually was asked as well when Alan Milton was on representing the GAA during the week.
Why
that
not?
They were under pressure from several parties. And you're right, but why not take some time and go back?
Why not take more time
and
talk to all the stakeholders, talk to Kildare, and really, you know, really assess their will to play in front of their, in assessed their will to play at home at the expense of leaving many of their supporters out on the streets and at home watching it on television and wherever else they will watch it. That's a decision that Kildare made, and ultimately it was their right. And while CCCC have some fallback on health and safety grounds, someone passed this to be an 8,200 capacity. The GAA's own health and safety, presumably, committee, presumably passed this to go with a reduced capacity of 8,200. And at that stage, Kildare, entitled to home venue, said, yes, we'll play it there. We want to play it there, sir. And ultimately, it was their right to do so.
I think on the back of that, too, the Monday decision and Wednesday decision, I think the teams themselves need to know at least 5 days before a game, never mind, you know, a Monday to a Saturday, but a Wednesday to a Saturday, not knowing where you're playing, what pitch, what travel arrangements, what hotels, what overnight accommodation. You wouldn't get that all done within from a Wednesday evening once the, or Wednesday afternoon once the decision
was made. Well, I would say, right, not Wednesday evening, but certainly maybe Monday evening. I mean, this decision was made at a noon meeting, and, you know, again, made probably in good faith, and I know people will say, well, it was about money and it was about Sky and all of these things. It probably ultimately was about capacity and facilities, and those who make the fixtures know that St Conlon's Park is not in good shape, and it's not the most pleasurable venue to go and watch a game. But it's Kildare's venue, and in accordance with the rule, even though there is fallback on health and safety grounds, they didn't stand up in the end, because obviously this was teased out, and the stakeholders, whether the guards or the health and safety committee, said, no, it's okay at this.
But why can't we sit down in April or May and say, these are the stadiums that are going to host matches during this championship. St Conlon's Park has been passed. It's a capacity of 8,200. Whether you're playing Leitrim or whether you're playing Dublin, your home games, but that's the maximum capacity. And I don't care how many season ticket holders you have, you're just going to have to suck it up. Some people aren't going to get in if you want to maintain your home advantage.
Well, we may see that, because every crease in the GAA is eventually ironed out in some way, and more creases appear here. I mentioned on one of the programmes here a few weeks back, there is a complaint for every day of the week in the GAA, and you could start on January the 1st and say, well, what's the complaint there? What's the issue here? And you can go right through the year, and there's one for every day of the year, it seems. And here's another one now, is capacities. But there was a principle at stake here for Kildare too. And I felt that was ultimately what pushed them over the line and hardened, and the resolve and the support that they got, even at the expense of people not seeing it tonight.
John, you're keeping quiet over there in the corner as a former Kildare player. I'm sure you were in conversation with a lot of your former teammates and a lot of people down there over the course of the week. What was your take on it all?
I'm just glad it's over and that there's a game to look forward to this evening. It comes down to what happens on the field now. I mean, there's been so many mistakes made by fixtures committee for the last number of years. You know, there was a big one made that I was involved with in the Sigerson final was fixed the same day as the club's All-Ireland semi-finals, and I asked at the time that maybe the new president might come in and talk to potential colleges about next year's Sigerson competition. So we're still waiting on, you know, maybe an invitation with that. So, and I won't hold my breath on that, you know. We're just too slow, and we just hope these problems go away, and, you know, we'll deal with a different problem next year. But look, it is what it is. I think everybody in the country we're happy that Kildare kept their home advantage. Facilities wise, you know, it's a wake up call for every county. You know, we have the same problem in Tuam Stadium at the moment. We have a fantastic playing service, but very, very poor infrastructure. And we give out that all the games go to Pierce Stadium. It has to go to Pierce Stadium because we don't have the proper facilities in Tuam. It's the same in Newbridge. I mean, Newbridge hasn't been done up in years. So it's a wake up call to Kildare County Board and other county boards all around the country. If you want to stage home games in the future, you better be ready, otherwise it'll be taken off you.
This wasn't the first game in this year's championship that wasn't played by a team at their home venue, so Waterford will be the obvious one. Similar issues with Walsh Park, even though we were talking during the week and maybe they could have got it up to a capacity of 7,000 or 8,000, and we know how important home advantage has been during the hurling round robin. But even looking back at the Leinster championship this year, right from the first round, Louth against Carlow, Offaly against Wicklow was played at a double header at O'Moore Park. It doesn't seem to make any sense.
Leinster Council retained the right to schedule matches where they want. This was different. In the rule book, it says that first team out gets home venue in the first three rounds of the qualifiers. So that was the difference here. Leinster retained the right to unless it's home and away between the counties, they retain the right. And Kildare hasn't hosted a Leinster Championship match since 1995, and it's obvious why that the Leinster field, the ground isn't up to it, and they're not bound by the same rule as Croke Park was here. That was ultimately the difference.
I want to play a clip of Ned Quinn, who is the chairman of the CCCC, and he was on OTBAM a little bit earlier in the week, and it escalated pretty quickly during the week, this situation from 6-1, and we don't actually have that clip at the moment of Ned Quinn, but listen, I don't even
give
anybody
yeah.
any favours with his comments, because I think the GAA at that stage had sort of bunkered down and weren't saying anything, and suddenly he appears and says, well, this problem with season tickets, there may be an atmosphere outside that people won't like, where people are going to turn up with their children expecting that they'll get in, they won't be able to, we just can't control that, which didn't really help anybody. And the GAA, I guess, you would assume, and maybe I'm completely wrong, Colin, will have to have learned a lot of lessons from this week as to how they talk to the GAA public.
Was he nominated as a spokesman?
He's the chairman of CCCC. Yeah, he's the chairman since the new president came in. So he obviously would have chaired the meeting to fix this game. But with regard to that, I think they will probably draw breath a little bit and maybe take their time a little bit more and discuss with counties and maybe just test the waters a little bit. I mean, they are experienced people in fixing games and can read and can predict pretty accurately what a crowd is going to be. I mean, the projection was that this would be an 18,000 to 20,000 game between Kildare and Mayo, and that probably stands up because the interest in both counties is huge, and it's even more now.
You ask any team, and it's okay, I have a bias, but if you ask any team to gauge the Mayo support, whether it's down in Limerick or down in Tipperary, where they have 8,000 or 9,000 travelling people, and you're going to yourself, now, like Monday morning, the fixture was made. I know people that booked hotels with no cancellation in Dublin. Now, they weren't season ticket holders. So they don't get the game, they won't get a ticket, and they don't get their hotel. And to have 4,500 season ticket holders now seems to be a disadvantage to Mayo when you're saying there's going to be 10,000 people that would have travelled not going to the game.
It comes back to, it was Kildare's call, and Keane O'Neill was dead right. He said, probably in his own head, where's our best chance of beating Mayo this evening? Newbridge or Croke Park? And it is Newbridge. And I mean, everything will still have to go so right for Kildare this evening to win. They have a better chance down there, and I'd say now that he has won that battle for the players, for the right to play at home, they have to deliver for themselves and for him. Otherwise, it's kind of all in vain.
Oh, without a doubt. The man says they have a serious opportunity, and again, as we were talking outside, the start of the game is going to dictate a massive amount of who's going to come out of that battle. But it was a big call. I do think that Croke Park got some things right. And
what?
They changed. They changed their mind. They didn't come out and say, we think this. And I think, as someone says, that a very good lesson in PR is saying nothing. And that's what they did. They talked, they got Kildare to cancel their press conference, was it on Wednesday evening or Tuesday evening?
Tuesday evening.
And said, you know what, let's discuss it. Maybe they're not going to come out, and how many of us do come out and say, hands up, look it, I got it wrong, I'm sorry. But they listened. Is it a first? Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing to say. I think we're fighting an internal battle, and Croke Park seems to be the big bad wolf. And I'm going, we're the word Croke Park, I think, has been sullied, because now you think of Croke Park and people think, oh, it's these guys up in their plush offices doing this. They're good, honest, genuine people. I think Tom Ryan, who I've never met, never talked to, I think it was a good sign or a good indication, because at the end of the day, boys, he's the boss. And I think his role in it was very very silent, but I think it says a lot as well.
You don't want to personalise it, and there are a lot of good people working in that organisation, and there's no question about that, but they also have a job to do. And Colin, Fergal McGill coming out and saying, if Kildare don't show up in Croke Park on Saturday at 7 o'clock, the game is going to be awarded to Mayo. That seemed felt like a really threw a grenade on the situation.
Well, I felt that that entrenched it, no doubt about it. And I felt when it wasn't when it didn't change by Tuesday evening, that I felt maybe it wouldn't, because I would have made the assumption that, well, Wednesday's too late to make a call on this. And ultimately, it was made on a Wednesday. And as I said earlier in the program, it proves that maybe no rush is needed on a Monday. Tease these things out, work it out.
It felt on Monday afternoon that it was a sort of sports story, that it was something that would be covered on radio shows like this and on the sports pages. But then when Keane O'Neill went on 6-1, it exploded. It was a masterstroke, it turned out, from Keane O'Neill, because suddenly he got everybody within the GAA family behind him. And he'd been under huge pressure. We spoke about it last week, that Kildare have had a nightmare season until their last win in the qualifier. It feels as though it was a landmark moment for him and Kildare.
Maybe so, but maybe results tonight. A result tonight may dictate otherwise. But certainly, he came out of it with enormous credit for a manager who was under pressure, and the feeling was that and his next defeat would be his last as Kildare manager. That's certainly the feeling. But if the game hadn't been played, it would be very, very hard to turn around and say to Keane O'Neill at that stage, "Well, we're changing," because really. He ramped it up on Monday evening for sure and spoke very well.
Do you think he has set an example that we're going to see repeated in coming years?
Well, we did see it with Kevin McStay, only it came to nothing, and Kevin McStay was equally as defiant prior to the Connacht final that this game would be played in Hyde Park. Now that wasn't a capacity issue, really. It was a ticketing and a scanning issue, and there was one point of egress that's departure out of the back of the stand that was causing problems, and something that they've been told they'll maybe have to fix in the future if they want to host a game of that size again. But Kevin McStay will be here on the day of the Connacht final, and maybe if it's Galway, maybe they'll be somewhere else. But this is where we will be, and ultimately, his firm stance. Forced Connacht Council to get negotiating and accepting that there is a way around this. We have seen it twice.
Yeah, and we may have another stormer brewing ahead of the Super 8s with Donegal, which we will come to in a couple of moments' time, but we're getting a lot of texts in. Serves Kildare right. Why did they not build on their All-Ireland final appearance in 98 and build a decent stadium? They have the population, Jim in Wexford.
Certainly, that's in the past. They have plans in for 7.5 million, 15,000-seater stadium. And I think what we've seen this week is the need for that to press ahead as quickly as possible. Kildare is a big county. I mean, people would say, the small man gets turned over. Kildare should not be seen as a small man in Gaelic football or in GAA terms. It's a big county. There's a lot of interest. Okay, their record isn't good over the years, that's for sure. But there's a lot of interest in the game there. There's a lot of things happening. And really, they need a stadium that befits that. And certainly 15,000 would be very adequate. And, it was put out there that the GAA, because of Kildare's defiant stand, the GAA may be a lot slower to help them with the redevelopment of Conlon's Park. Well, I would say, on the contrary, they should be, really putting the foot to the floor to get Kildare sorted. And there are a number of other venues around the Leinster, and there's Park Tarleton and Navan. There's Pierce Park in Longford as well. And this could potentially throw up other problems with Super 8s if any of these teams in the future get home venues. So the sales pitch that you get a home venue for the Super 8s, it's on a little bit of thin ice now because of that. And also with Walsh Park, we have seen that. Although Walsh Park, we mentioned Walsh Park earlier, there could have been remedial work done on Walsh Park in Waterford, but it would have cost a lot of money to bring that up to health and safety. There was the knocking of a wall, from what I recall, and certain things would have to have been done that would have cost Waterford County Board between 400,000 and 500,000. I think they were the issue at stake there.
Okay.
So they said, look, we'll get this sorted for next year, which they may or may not, but we'll just have to go with this for now. And Waterford made that decision ultimately because they were never going to get that work done on time or within that. That's pretty steep for a temporary measure.
We're getting a lot of texts in. We'll get to those after the break. You're listening to the Saturday panel brought to you this afternoon with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products. We might even get to talk some football as well.
Off the Ball on Newstalk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
Welcome back to the Saturday panel, joined in studio by David Brady, Colm Keyes and John Dively. 53106 is the text number. We're live on all our social channels as well, so you can leave a comment on Facebook, on YouTube or on Twitter. Tom McKevitt, watching on Facebook Live, says it's 2018, the ground is 60 standard. Text in from Dave the Dub, health and safety my ass. Take a look at Hill 16 when Dubs are playing. Walkways jammed, they pack Dubs in the yellow walkway. Steps never clear, it's a complete joke. Lads, the root of the problem here is the ground itself and the fact that the GAA as an organisation who have any amount of money don't seem to pass that around to upgrade grounds around the country to make them capable of holding a championship match, from Damien Amayo.
There'll be no problem with health and safety this evening in Newbridge.
It just shows that
your health and safety might be under threat, I feel.
Well, my health and safety, but there's 2,500 stewards in place.
It just shows what...
Free tickets,
yeah. All the yellow bibs.
Infrastructure is one of the GAA's biggest challenges over the next 10 years, not just at county level, but at club level, that the enormous numbers coming into the game at juvenile level and the closer and graver links and the speed at which ladies football is developing too, it's putting pressure on club pitches. There's not enough room. You're sending out all the coaches right across the country who are bringing more people into the game, but ultimately for clubs there's going to be nowhere to put them and facilitate them. And with the ladies game growing and as I said, links getting closer, and we see infrastructure as an issue, and we mentioned the counties, Walsh Park, with more inter-county games and home venue now enshrined in rule, obviously with the qualifiers and with the home quarter final, that creates a greater need for better stadia in these counties. So it's a huge challenge. And how does the GAA support that? Well, through money. So that creates, that's the other great argument. This is why deals are done with other broadcast companies that may not be palatable for a lot of people. This is why probably there are more games. And people say it shouldn't be about the money. Well, at some stage, it has to be about some money too. If you're going to upgrade these grounds and if you're going to be able to support clubs, to be able to facilitate, because shaking a bucket in some of the provincial towns in Ireland where the game is growing is not that easy. It's not that easy for some clubs in some areas to fundraise. And that's a challenge. And that's where the GAA needs money to be able to support them. But it's not very popular to say that sometimes. But that is a reality.
The problem is, though, you know, any bit of green grass around towns is being used to build houses. So the population is growing day by day. What needs to happen is every club needs to get a second pitch in their grounds, but it's not possible. So, like, it's a bigger issue than what we think. It's okay down the countryside where there's plenty of land to build a second pitch. We don't need second pitches down the countryside. We need players. Dublin, Kildare, Cork, you know, all these big counties with city clubs, they need land to build a second pitch. They don't have it. So
it's not just the GAA problem. It's a problem for the country as a whole. We need a sports strategy that's looking at counties like Dublin, Kildare, Cork in a different way that they're looking at Mayo, Roscommon, Leitrim, and assessing their needs, giving them what they want. How do we get population back to those parts? How do we get facilities where there is the population already? It's not an easy fix.
No, it's not. When I'm just to go back from a GAA point of view, if you look at the cool camps, which are to bring kids in at entry level. Now, there are some established players in there, but to bring them in at entry level, and it's gone up from 80,000 up to 140,000 something in the space of a few years. How do you convert that back into club players at ladies, and where do you put those extra numbers? And I just think it's a huge challenge over the next 10 years. And here we are talking about Kildare, St Conlon's Park, and no doubt at some stage in the future, it'll be back to the Louth situation, Partalton and Navan, Walsh Park, And on we go to be able to provide spectator comfort and ease for every ground in the country. One county ground in the country is a real challenge.
Yeah, and we might come back to that and have a look at that on another Saturday panel over the coming weeks. But the next potential controversy may be just down the track. So we're 2 weeks away from the Super Eights. It's a Crow Park weekend. We're going to have Galway against Kerry. We're going to have Dublin against Donegal. And we have an interview with Declan Bonner, the Donegal manager, coming up just after 4 o'clock, where we talk about Jim McGuinness been in, giving the squad a pre-championship pep talk, his reaction to Paddy McBearty's season-ending injury. And also, I asked him if the Dublin game should be played in Crow Park or whether they would like it played at a neutral venue.
Well, listen, Nathan, looking at it, it's basically, it's meant to be one away
one at home and one at a neutral venue. I suppose from a Donegal perspective, we're ending up playing two away games, and Dublin will have two home games, and through no fault of their own. That's, I mean, it's not a case of the Dublin. This is what was laid out. But I think, you know, for all eight teams, it's got to be the one playing field, and I don't think it's that level if you have to play two matches away from home, and as I say, one other team has two home games. So I think, you know, the CC, I don't think these fixtures are going to be set, or maybe they are set in stone, but I think in terms of, I think maybe in fairness to the whole eight teams, it's going to be in that Super 8 that they're all playing on the one pitch, and at the minute there seems to be a slight edge towards Dublin, the fact that they have two home games, and basically we're ending up with two away games.
I'm sure it's something that comes up around the dressing room when you're at training, and we've seen this week that when teams and when players do take a stand, that maybe for the first time ever the GAA have had to listen, and maybe it has set some sort of a precedent. Is this something that the squad have spoken about, that we want this game played at a neutral venue, or do you just have to suck it up and turn up in Croke Park in a couple of weeks' time?
Well, I mean, listen, in terms of we speak about fairness, in terms of about fairness, I think, you know, if you do, if you were Donegal were to play Dublin and someone said the game's going to be played at a neutral venue, then you would expect somewhere like Cavan, like Clonus, like, you know, at a neutral venue, not going into Dublin's backyard to play a match, which is a so-called neutral match. But listen, now the players, in fairness, when we get back in this week, it's just about getting the heads down, getting back at it. So we leave that to the authorities to deal with that there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, listen, the CCC will, I mean, as I say, the fixtures are still to come out, and I presume the CCC will be sitting, and I'm sure they'll take note of that there, and I know there's been a fair amount of talk in the media during the week about it. And so we'll wait and see what exactly is going to happen, but I think maybe in the interest of fair play and maybe a bit of common sense, then let's have a look at it.
Declan Bonner, that full interview coming up at 4 o'clock. The word from Croke Park earlier in the week was that this is not a weekend of neutral fixtures. It's a weekend of Croke Park fixtures, that when it was voted through Congress, that all the counties were made fully aware of this. But John, in the interests of fairness, in the interests of integrity, should this game be played out at Croke Park?
Probably should be. But again, as Declan Bonner says, it's not a Donegal or Dublin problem. They just have to play where they're told. So again, it comes back to the fixture makers in Croke Park, and they would have known about this a long, long time ago. So, I mean, look, there's lessons to be learned for next year, and Super 8s is an evolving competition. They're going to hopefully take stock of what happens in the next 2 months. And just tweak it again for next year. So, look, right now, all Donegal can do is, you know, get somebody nice and ready for Paddy McBearty's spot and concentrate on a game of football. That's what it's all about. Donegal would love to play Dublin and Croke Park. They had a cracking game against them here in the National League with loads of young lads, and they've developed and moved on since then. So there's no point in worrying about it now or over-talking about it now. It won't change this year.
But, like, it's not Dublin's fault either.
You know, Declan Bonner said that at the start.
But there's a certain amount of gamesmanship and brinkmanship, and, you know, what's your media or communication strategy, and you're going to throw it out there, and I think they'll have to decide.
There's no harm in Declan Bonner throwing this out there.
No,
worst case scenario,
not.
They're turning up in Croke Park anyways, and you've all the Donegal support riled up.
And you know what? Alan Brogan asked me during the week, did I ever once think that I was going playing Dublin in their home pitch? And I didn't when I was playing in Croke Park. It's for me personally, John,
has that not changed over the last decade, 15 years?
That's changed with the spring series. The fact that Dublin have moved their home league matches to Croke Park.
That has
And ultimately, and while they probably would win as many or close to as many games, in Parnell Park, they certainly wouldn't win them by as much.
No.
And I suppose that there's no doubt there is an issue there, that the perception is that this is Dublin's home ground, but it's the GAA's headquarters, and that was the reasoning and the thinking behind, I'm sure. What surprises me is that the Croke Park games are on first. Mm. I would have thought that provincial champions would be entitled to a home match first. The fact that Donegal, their reward for beating everybody else in Ulster was into Croke Park to play Dublin. Now, in the current climate of Dublin's dominance, that's probably the toughest pill to swallow. And that's their reward. And their reward after that could be potentially a trip to Healy Park to play Tyrone. It could be Clonus. Whatever way the draw works out, we don't know. But Monaghan, Mayo and Tyrone could potentially come through this weekend and put themselves in position where Donegal would have to go to one of those venues.
Their second game now, is definitely away from home, so they start with two away games.
So they start with two away games, according to the revise. Now, there was a difference in the GAA diary, but it's changed back to that the provincial champions play their home game last. And I would have thought the thinking should be maybe first, that these games first. Now, maybe it was a case that they didn't want, that the idea that could be dead rubbers
in
Croke Park could have been the issue. But the reward should have been on the first weekend, provincial champions at home. Because Donegal could conceivably be out of the championship after two games.
Probably the main reason, though, probably the main reason the first rounds are in Croke Park is that Michael Bublé is playing on the 17th of July. So
I don't start, John.
No, but would you say this is probably it? Croke Park don't want managers giving out that the pitch wasn't up to scratch the following week. So they say, play it, get it out of the way, and it's done and dusted, and the concert can take place. That is probably the real reason, but obviously that one.
I think it was probably just it's, you know, they wanted everything centralised for a really big start to the Super 8s. Now, it can change next year, and there can even be a clause to bring in to accommodate to say that they would be played this, the Croke Park round would be played at Croke Park or a neutral venue. Mm. But as the rules stand and as it's written in from last year's Congress, there's a Croke Park match for Dublin and there's a home match for Dublin. Now, there's no declaration of a home venue, and their home venue, you know, by anyone's estimation, is Croke Park.
But there's not a hope in hell they're going to play
that's where they play their league
no,
match.
No, and like you go to yourself, if you're, no matter who you have, you're going to have 60 or 70,000 at it. There's no other stadium in the country that can facilitate that. I say it's the Field of Dreams. And if you want to beat Dublin, you have to play them on a pitch. And it's Croke Park, so be it. But the one thing that I don't think is right, and Alan Brogan did agree with me, is every single time Dublin get to play in Croke Park, they come out first, they get to pick their warm-up end. On the basis that their name in Irish, is that?
Well, that's what is thought, that they get the same dressing room at the Hill End because it's Audley, and that's never been confirmed or anything.
Is that not where the big difference will be if this was a neutral venue? That
yes.
Dublin are out of their routine, they don't get to stay in their own beds the night before, they'd have to go down. Well, if they're in Clonus, they might have to travel down the night before.
I think a fair way is to toss.
I don't think Dublin
would have any
issue with that. I just don't think they have any issue with that. I wouldn't imagine so, but the fact is they have the choice of a home venue. Now, that could be anywhere. I would have thought home venue does not put you into Parnell Park just because that's where their headquarters are. Home venue, I would imagine it's a choice of where you want to play.
The fact is, though, lads, it doesn't matter where you play Dublin. They're currently the best team in the country. And for aspiring players around the country that want to win major honours, you're going to have to come up against Dublin at some time. And if you have that attitude before you start, you might as well not come to Croke Park to play Dublin or go anywhere to play Dublin. I really don't buy into that.
But is the novelty not worn off for the top players of playing games at Croke Park at this stage?
No. Not at all. No. I mean, how many times, if you're lucky, you might get 9 or 10 games in Croke Park, you know, in your career. Maybe you might get a few more. So not at all. You ask the Carlow lads, the Laois lads, they'd come up against Croke Park next week if they're still in a competition.
So if you had a choice and say next year changed and Mayo won Connacht and it was Mayo against Dublin and it's either Croke Park or you play it in Tullamore, halfway house?
I'd pick Croke Park. It's from a Mayo perspective.
I couldn't see Mayo backing down from a challenge of Dublin and Croke Park. After Dublin, they're the team that visits to play in Croke Park most often after that, and they're most familiar with it and they have a very, very good record. So I think it depends on the county. It would be very, very interesting, for instance, if Kildare win their way through to the Super 8s and it's Roscommon they beat. Let's just say they win tonight and they play Roscommon and they have a home fixture in the third round qualifiers, the third round of the All-Ireland quarter-final series, and they have a home fixture. What happens then? And it's against Dublin. So it's an interesting.
Hubert, you're nowhere.
No, I'm.
T-shirts, they get another run out of them yet. So it sounds as though we're all probably guilty of not reading the fine print when these things go through Congress, and then 2 weeks beforehand it comes into focus. There's a bit of an outrage, but
I think there'll be a bit. I think there will be trial. I think there will be trial and error with the way this maps out over the next few weeks. And certainly, I would think there will be review of the provincial champions not having home venue first time out.
Mm. Yeah, and it's not about getting perfection. You know, you need to have a proper structure, but there is the age old GAA term is fogra. The note, if the note was put in that it was determined by the CCC committee to say home advantage is not a guarantee if two Division One teams clash, or if crowd capacity, if demand outweighs the ground. Yeah. You want yourself. It's not about. I think we in GAA terms and context, everyone needs to be kept happy. That's not going to happen. And it's a whole new world for all of us to Super 8. And I think we there's going to be things that need to be tweaked, need to be got right. But again, it's like everything else. The games have got to start talking for themselves rather than everything in the preamble to it.
What's going to happen then this evening in Newbridge?
It's a hard one to call. I mean, if you look at the team that Mayo have picked, their midfield of Stephen Cohen and Jeremiah O'Connor, they're giving away a big height advantage on Kevin Feely and Tommy Mulick. And Kildare have traditionally, so far this year, gone long into the middle of the field. So I don't see that changing. So there's going to be a big scramble for ball around the middle third. And I mean, Lee Keegan, Colin Boyle, you know, the two Durkins, Kevin McLaughlin, you know, they will love the breaking ball situation. They will scrap hard and move well with it. But then Kildare, you know, have really good players. Like, they have some cracking minor under 21 teams from the last few years. Brian Murphy's brought them through. They're all there. Kildare were unlucky in a lot of their league games this year. Very, very unlucky. They only lost a few by a couple of points.
What about the defeat to Carlow, though? It's only 4 or 5 weeks ago at this stage. Can you turn around that quickly?
But sure you can. Sure, look, Mayo had a big defeat to Galway too, and I mean, they've shaken themselves off.
There's a bit of a difference between losing to Galway and losing to Carlow.
Well, you know, that's a bit unfair now on Carlow. I mean,
Galway are all Ireland contenders.
Yeah, but we still have a lot to do.
Defense to Carlow.
No, I know that.
But you did defend them. So.
I'm only putting you on the spot. You know, really, look, Kildare didn't show up properly in their minds against Carlow. Carlow had their homework done 100% from shots. It was one of them days. It was a bad day at the office. Every team has them. They've moved on. They've grinded out great results. Kevin Feely is an exceptional player. The big thing for me, if Kildare are to win tonight, they don't have as many scorers, potential, you know, good scorers that Mayo do. Now, people will say, well, Mayo, they can't score a lot either. Yeah. But Kildare are relying on the two Flynns up front, and then their next best scorer is probably Kevin Feely. You know, so there's a midfielder who takes all their frees, and then the two Flynns. Paddy Brophy hasn't regained, you know, he's a great player. He could shoot 5 or 6 points this evening. He mightn't get a sniff of the goal at all. So Mayo possibly have that stronger edge when it comes to scoring. But it's just a fascinating game. I mean, the Kildare lads, they're going to be so hungry for it. But Daniel Flynn needs to probably score 2 or 3 goals, in my eyes, for Kildare to win this game tonight.
I think there's a gap for Kildare to make up on the league match earlier this year. And both sides weren't really going that well at the time, and Mayo ended up winning well. And they played a qualifier game up in McHale Park 2 years ago, and the gap was just as great then. So on that basis, there looks to be a bit of a gap between them, obviously. I think Feely's a key player as well. I think Kildare will get a lot from the two games, winning two games away. Owen Begg is not the easiest place to go to. Derry have a very good qualifier record there. And Longford is not the easiest place to go to, as quite a few teams have discovered in recent years. Longford are pretty good at home there. And I think the manner of Kildare's win the last day, they came late and managed to scrape a win, and that was a lot for the confidence. Notwithstanding the events of earlier this week, I think they would have gone into a game in Mayo against Mayo if everything was quiet. They would have gone in with brimming with quiet confidence that they can really, really perform. But Mayo are so used to this atmosphere. They're so used to being cornered in many ways. I'm not suggesting they're going to be cornered tonight. I think they'll win. I think they're a hardened, experienced team that knows how to get the job done. We saw that in Tipperary. Obviously, they got a bit of a break. Tom Parsons and Seamus O'Shea, two more bodies in the long term.
That's a major,
I think. How well Tom Parsons played for them last year. Yeah. And obviously, Seamus O'Shea makes a contribution in bursts, and he's a very good link player.
So is this a very good test then, actually, for Jeremy O'Connor and Stephen Cohen going up against Feely and Mulick, that maybe Stephen Rochford gets a bit of a sense heading towards, and without taking anything for granted, heading towards Super 8s as to whether those two are up for it or whether he needs to look at something else?
It's a major opportunity. I'll tell you one thing about this evening that's going to happen. If you leave here at 20-6, there's not a chance you're going to make Newbridge. I don't know how you have that in your mind.
Google Maps says 45 minutes.
Yeah, look at it.
Wouldn't lie to me.
Hey, not when you have 2,500 stewards down there.
Not if you're in David Brady and can't find your car.
That's another story. It's a major opportunity for Mayo to cement, and I don't think that's going to be your midfield pairing.
Okay.
I think it's there for the sake of it. Aidan is going to have to play a major role because you have a very limited height disadvantage. You have a height disadvantage, especially against the Kildare midfield. But for me, with Flynn in full forward, definitely, without a doubt, and Tipperary did it, and they got reward for it, they're going to target the Mayo full back line. I know that Paddy Durkin was marking Quinlan for long parts of it. Did very well, but they struggled under the high ball. And I think, again, they're going to be singled out for that this evening.
And 2 years ago, 2 years ago, Feely actually went into full forward at the end of that game and caused a lot of trouble.
When they were just throwing caution to the wind, but I think
and did damage, and it took Aidan O'Shea to go back and stand in front of him that night to be able to guard against it, and maybe that was the precursor for what Aidan O'Shea did against Kerry last year with Kieran Donaghy. But that night, Feely was the one player that caused Mayo trouble, both from kickouts and then when he went into midfield. And I think, again, he's a key player. And also Daniel Flynn, John has mentioned him. He did superbly. They lost every game, and yet Daniel Flynn came up with goals against Mayo. He came up against goals against Dublin, Donegal, and 6 points against Kerry. It was a really, really good return for a player that was playing on a team that was so routinely beaten.
For me, James Durkin is a major advantage, and the back door, the qualifiers, has been a blessing in disguise for the likes of him.
For anyone who hasn't seen him, what type of player is he?
You know, someone said to me, you want to start talking down or talking up Durkin. But from what I've seen of him, I think he's one of the more complete footballers that Mayo, and he has serious potential, whether it's pace, speed, but his natural scoring ability is fantastic. He's electric on the ball. And his pace, yes, is a major asset. He's a lot to learn. He came on in the last 10 minutes of a Connacht final in the most competitive championship, provincial championship, himself and Keane Henley, with not 1 second of inter-county experience in his life. And you're going, I think it was a bit too much to ask. I think it was a bit unfair. Mm. But the qualifiers now have given him the little platform. Keane Henley.
But it obviously begs the question. So Keane Henley, understandable, was coming back from Australia as to why Durkin wasn't playing during a league campaign.
That's the whole thing. And you're going, why are these guys and the likes of Conor Loftus again on the periphery? You're going, this is the opportunity to give them confidence, because Andy is not firing on the same spark, and again, as the championship goes on, hopefully he will, but he's not firing on the same spark. Jason Doherty is playing outstanding football, and always has. He's probably one of the most underrated players on the Mayo panel for a long time, but they need that little bit. But the problem I have is that the Mayo forwards have not been challenged. They have not been challenged from the sideline or from the subs bench. And again, you're going, it takes two to tango. Yes, you have to have the guys come on performing. But week in, week out, the same core forwards are starting.
I think the winning in the game from a Mayo point of view, in my eyes, is their half-back line. Because Kildare have picked a very defensive half-forward line. The two Cribbins and Fergal Conway are probably, well, definitely Keith Cribbin and Conway are natural defenders. Conway would be a great number six. And you know, Owen Doyle, their captain, is a fantastic captain. He's probably a better cornerback. So if Kildare back off and allow the Mayo half back line up the field, that's a problem straight away for Kildare.
But the changes in midfield for Mayo, is that likely to affect how the half back line play?
No, well, like Stephen Cohen, I think could slot in centre-back. Colin Boyle is struggling for me. Colin Boyle is not just, you know, he's played so much football. I think he's lost a half yard. Now, half yard doesn't sound much, but at this level, it's a lot. So I think Stephen Cohen could play centre-back and Aidan O'Shea could go to midfield. Look, Lee Keegan could play half-back, but like a midfielder.
He's going to go in midfield.
So midfield, Lee Keegan, Aidan O'Shea?
Interchanging. Yeah, I wouldn't
push. Yeah.
And that's the way they work. They work on a cycle, and whether it's, you know, it's Paddy Durkin on the half back line with Cullum, who, all in fairness, didn't have his best game the last day, but he's going to be a core part of it. Yeah. And you know what? When the going gets tough tonight, He's one man that I'd love to see staying on the pitch.
The one thing I've learned from this conversation is that we've a future Kildare manager over here to our left.
That's what he was telling us. Yeah,
and I'm just looking at his notes here, and it's like something you'd see in NASA. In a NASA manual.
Johnny, give us the good stuff then.
Team formations, Kildare team formations written in here. Lots of arrows, lots of tactics.
I'm looking at all the singers and players.
and the way he's talked about Kildare there, the way he's been moving the team around. I have no doubt that if results go against Kildare tonight and there is a new management, I know who I'll have top of the list.
Glenn Ryan will be top of the list. But definitely the Kildare full back line, they're very, very good players. Like David Hyland or Grady Kelly, like they love marking Killian O'Connor, you know, Doherty and Andy. So that's why my fear for Kildare... they're good man markers. So my fear for Kildare is if their half forward line, you know, don't play as natural half forwards a lot of the time, you're just allowing Mayo to attack. And Mayo showed the last day against Tipperary, they can score from around the D. They don't need to carry it all the way in. And there's such a big gap then all the way up to Daniel Flynn. Mm. The other thing is, if you look at Kildare last year against Dublin, when they got their two goals, it was high diagonal balls in that Brophy can catch, that Flynn can catch, that Tommy Muley and Feely can move in. I don't know why Kildare don't play a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
They don't need to carry it all the way up. Kerry did it successfully a few years ago with the big men they had. Mm. Like there's goal opportunities for Kildare there. Now people say it's route one, but I mean,
if it works.
Feely can do that really well. Kevin Feely can do that. Yep. He's a superb catcher of the ball now, more from kickouts maybe than from balls delivered in that are dropping a little bit quicker that don't hang. But still, he's a threat around the box, around the full forward line. There's no doubt he's a threat. But I think one issue for Mayo is still discipline. I think losing players to black cards, red cards. We saw it the last. They saw it in the Connacht Championship match against Galway.
What does it suggest? Does it suggest the obvious that there's an inner frustration that?
Well, number one, they're a hard hitting team that leaves bodies and arms and everything in, and that they certainly don't hold back. But there's obviously in certain cases there's been elements of frustration there too. There is no doubt that when you look at some of the challenges that have gone in and from the players that have committed those challenges, there's a degree of frustration there. But more so, they are a hard-hitting team that goes over the edge sometimes.
John, just going back to what you're talking about there with the Kildare half-forward line, and who knows, if you do find yourself in that position over the coming years, you'll find yourself in these type of games coming up against a team that's seen as one of the top four or five in the country, All-Ireland contenders, and how you play your own game, but how you counter the opposition. Do you want Kildare to go out and play their own game, or do you think actually with Mayo we gotta throw our usual tactics out the window and come up with a special game plan for this?
Well, it's knockout football, so they have to go at it as hard as they can. And you know, the one thing where Mayo have showed a little bit of vulnerability over the years is, you know, if you go at them hard from the start and press up on them, don't allow David Clark, you know, the ball, especially now that Mayo don't have their natural midfielders on show. This is a great chance for Kildare, push up, let's kick it out around the middle, we've got the bigger men, let's have a bit of confidence in ourselves that we can clean the ball. It's a mark, then they can set up whatever way they want. I really do think Kildare have to go at them. They have leaked a lot at the back, there's no doubt, so Fergal Conway is naturally going to drift back there, but like they have some, like Johnny Byrne can attack up the field, so he's a good half-back, he's for Kildare what Keegan is for Mayo, like, you know. So look, everything has to go right for Kildare. They have to go for goals. They're going to have a little bit of lady luck on their side, and that's why I think they shouldn't be afraid to try something more tonight than they've never done before, which is a lot more long diagonal balls. Yeah. I mean, it's worth it.
Yeah, like. You pick one or two weaknesses that you see in the opposition, and then you concentrate on 80% of your own strength and say we have to perform what we're good at, but we also try and pick holes. And
it feels strange when you're looking at that Mayo team that the fullback line of Higgins, Barrett and Cafferkey, I know Harrison is missing, but that suddenly that's starting to look like a bit of a weakness in this Mayo team.
You know what, and again,
maybe that's that half a yard catching up in an awful lot of these players.
You know what Keith is doing? Keith has a whole new freshness to him since he
missed the entire league, and he comes back straight in, and he's arguably Mayo's best player against Galway.
The guy that missed the league last year was Aidan O'Shea, and he had a phenomenal championship campaign. It's the bit of freshness that Keith has. Chris is coming back from a long-term injury. By all I'm hearing is that Brendan Harrison is going to be involved in some shape or form this season, which is good. Like, you have a lot of the returning. You don't be long. This is the trapdoor for Mayo. This is your one. I think whoever comes out of the four qualifiers this weekend will possibly be in a very good place to do a clean sweep and beat the four provincial losers. This is a major, major game because you're only one step then away from the Super 8, but it's a banana skin. I don't care who you are. Whenever you play in Mayo, you have a chance. Whether it's your Derrys or your Corks or your Kildares of this world, you'll always have a chance because that's the way Mayo play.
There's a big opportunity for Clare or Armagh to reach the Super 8 here because given the teams that are lining up in the provincial, coming from the provincial losers section, the winners of this afternoon's game in Armagh.
Is that potentially the tightest of the four?
It is, I think it would be the tightest. I think home advantage gives Armagh something, and we were just saying outside, it's ironic that Clare have to concede home advantage to Armagh, but they're the guidelines.
The Division 3 teams get home
Division
advantage.
You would never have thought historically that Clare would have to cede home advantage to Armagh in that respect, but that's the way they draw. But this is a very decent Clare team. They have some really, really good footballers. Owen Cleary and Jamie Malone, and obviously their midfield with Gary Brennan, they're really, really strong. So you give them every chance.
We're going to be going up to the Athletic Grounds in around 10 minutes' time. We're going to check in with Aaron Kernan ahead of that game between Armagh and Clare, which throws in at 3 o'clock. They're just getting underway in Carrick and Shannon in the game between Leitrim and Monaghan. A couple of changes for Monaghan. Desi Ward and Thomas Kerr in for Vinnie Corrie and Jack McCarron. One change for Leitrim. James Mitchell on for Alan Armstrong. Leitrim, a hope in hell of causing an upset.
You know what? It was great to see them to get their victory in the qualifier. But I'm just thinking, now, myself and Johnny, we're 20 years, Lance's, on this road, but to be in that searing heat today and this evening, it's like, what is it, 26, 27 degrees? It's a major ask for any team. And I think how teams cope with it today, it's going to have a major influence. You're going to be looking, you have to have fresh legs coming on. I don't know if Leitrim got the panel numbers, but you know what, down in Carrick, the little bit of siege mentality, there's a lot of positivity after their qualifier win. If there's one upset, I think it could be very, very, very close in Carrick.
And that's the one thing I love about David Brady is he can convince himself of anything just by talking for 90 seconds.
I
think with Monaghan we're going to win by about 15 points.
No,
but then
no.
Our dreamer.
You know what? And I'll continue to.
There's another word for that dreaming. It's a family show, isn't it?
Cavan against Tyrone then is the 5 o'clock game. Forgotten in all this mess that they're out of Croke Park as well. We're all expecting Tyrone to do the job. Cavan got the suspensions overturned last week.
You know, the two, McVitie's been a really, really good player, a real orchestrator for them. We saw that during the league. He was one of the best players in the league. That was a disappointing performance. Like, Cavan would have expected to beat a down team coming out of a bad Ulster Championship defeat. They would have expected to beat them far more convincingly than they did. So that's a concern for them. I saw them against Donegal and I thought they were pretty poor in Ballybuffet. I expected more from them having gone back up. And I think we're seeing that Division 2 of the league at the moment is poor, and that the gap between Division 1 and Division 2 is no doubt greater than any of the other divisions. And that's panned out in how some of the teams that played in Division 2 this year, how much they were beaten by.
What's the score in the Leitrim Monaghan game?
A point apiece.
See? Well, not too far wrong, yeah.
Oh, there's 2 minutes gone.
There's 21 points.
There's about 21 points. I'll admire that optimism for Leitrim, but
you have to think of
the only way us Mayo men can go on for life.
Just on Monaghan, though, like Monaghan, to me, have fantastic players, but, you know, you just look at the Monaghan team that goes out every day and you kind of wonder why he changes it so much or why he doesn't have, to me, some of the best players on the pitch all the time. And I think if Monaghan can just settle on a team and just let them at it, and they have a real chance of making the Super 8s. But they seem to constantly chop and change and chop and change. And I know horses for courses.
I've probably seen a lot more of Conor McCarthy than anyone. And, you know, Conor McCarthy's a really, really good. I would have thought he should be in there all the time. But he's kept in reserve quite a bit.
The GAA ultimately may get probably the 8th that they almost wanted for these Super 8s if the draw goes along expected lines and they will get Tyrone, Monaghan and Mayo through the Super 8s. Maybe Roscommon are the best of the best of the losing provincial finalists, that we may actually get some pretty tight games, some cracking games in the Super 8.
I'm not so sure. I mean, I think if one of them fell by the wayside or two, I still think Roscommon and Armagh could bring something to it. I don't know, but they could improve as time goes on. They would certainly, you know, would Armagh be that put out by having to play Monaghan in a qualifier, in a fourth round qualifier? Probably not.
No. It's an open draw, is it, on?
Except for repeat pairings. Sorry. Well, no, but the third round qualifiers play the beaten provincial finalists and they can't have any repeat pairings aside from that.
Yeah.
I think Laois still have a little bit to offer. They have some really good players. It was just very surprising the last day that their forwards didn't support their two main ball winners up front. I mean, they might have got a little bit closer to Dublin if they'd done that. So I think there's still a kick in Laois. They're very well united down there. Lots of good footballers, and I think they would be my surprise inclusion for the Super 8.
Lots of texts coming into 53106. Last two league defeats for Dublin, both in Croke Park, Monaghan this year, Kerry last year, so maybe not as unbeatable as some people are saying on home soil. Garth Doherty tweeting in saying, Dublin say that they love travelling. It's one thing playing Carlow, Laois or Wicklow at a neutral venue, an entirely different thing playing Kerry, Mayo, Galway, Donegal, Tyrone in a quarterfinal in a neutral venue. I guess, Colm, the only point you would say to that is Dublin don't have any real influence in this. It's not as if they're saying, going up in Congress.
Well, unless if it's put to them that, it's your home venue, where do you... Well, surprising if Dublin says, well, actually, yes, our home venue, we'd like to take it down to Thurles.
But what about that? We spoke about that at the start. What if, actually, everyone held their hands up and said, let's be honest here, Croke Park is Dublin's home venue. Yes, it's still the home of the GAA, it's our national stadium, but it's also Dublin's home ground. Would that be palatable?
I don't know. I think, you know, there seems to be a mood to around the country that Dublin should, Dublin should be moved out of there. But these are Croke Park games, and until you change that rule, which I imagine will happen,
not just for this year's Super 8, just for the future. If there was an acceptance that actually Dublin's home ground is not Parnell Park, it is Croke Park.
Well, Dublin are trying to get their own ground going for the last number of years, to be fair to them. I mean, we thought it was going to be Abbottstown. Obviously, it's not now. They are looking, I don't know, Colin might know if they're planning in for...
I don't think they're looking at an intra-county stadium, John. I mean,
Redevelopment at Spawell in Temple Oak.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be... I don't think they're looking at that in terms of an intra-county stadium. I think they're very happy with the arrangements to go into Croke Park and play the league games there. And after that, they don't really have a call on it.
Look, to be Lance's, they're of a golden era, and there's a time when they won't be winning games, and they'll be losing games and championship games in Croke Park, whether it's this year or next year. But I think it's where they play, and that's it. Long may it continue.
Lads, the traditional cry was that all GAA players wanted to represent their county in Croke Park. Now Kildare has sullied that and meant a great doubleheader with Tyrone against Cavan could not proceed, denying many fans, Kildare a disgrace. I hope Mayo thumped them, says Damien, a Tyrone man in Dublin. Which is another way of looking at it, possibly. Mayo should have said...
He was obviously looking to go... He was looking forward to going to Coppers tonight.
Mayo should have said, we'll play in Kildare, but as usual, they didn't have the balls. Hope Kildare win, they deserve it.
It didn't.
Kept quiet.
But you know, it was nothing to do with Mayo. And it was nothing to do with Stephen Rochford. And they're going, what have we... We'll say what? It's nothing. If Mayo should have shown a little bit of balls back when the game was nominated for the All-Ireland semi-final down in Limerick. Maybe the stakes was too high at that stage. But imagine if it was, and if the manager did come out on the Monday before and saying we're not going to a provincial venue when it's a Munster venue, and it's a venue where Kerry have played numerous championship games and won Munster titles. It's either Croke Park or nowhere.
You're a manager of Mayo, Dave. You'll make that stand.
Mayo Mick wouldn't have had his moment though.
Mayo Mick, no, the ball. The ball is going to Newbridge as well.
There's no turnstile big enough for him.
But 2,500 shorts, it is.
Michael Buble due to play in Croke Park on evening when they would have played around four doubleheader over the last few years. I think they would have budgeted for a qualifier doubleheader at Croke Park and Kildare got shafted as a result. There have been no round three games in Croker in recent years. Important detail not considered, says John in Cork. And lads, I'm sick to death of this upside down logic regarding Kildare because of their intringency. The main stakeholders, the fans, have been treated appallingly, says Alfie.
Kildare, I agree with Alfie.
You think
that's a decision Kildare made. We will go back to what we said at the start. They had to weigh up, do we want all our supporters who want to go to see this game, or do we want a home venue that gives us an advantage and that supports our town and our stadium and everything else like that? And
it's the siege.
They made that decision, and it was their entitlement.
Siege mentality, and they've got what they got what they asked for. Now the football is going to do the talking.
And finally, if these are the Croke Park fixtures, then Dublin Donegal should be played in Croke Park, but Dublin's home game should be in Parnell Park, and their away game should be in the home venue of their opponent. The GAA switched Dublin's home games to Croke Park, not the Dublin County Board. And I guess, Colm, that goes down to the point you were saying at the start as well, that if we want money to come into the GAA that can be put back out again, there's no way a Dublin final round qualifier that could have 70,000-75,000 people at it.
That is the unpalatable reality, that if you're talking about redeveloping stadia and building grounds and all of that, well then certainly the GAA needs some revenue streams that have to stay flowing. And in that regard, it's a double-edged sword, but it has to be done if you're going to do that. You are not going to get it on fundraising and state grants alone. You need money coming centrally from what is, you know, what are the jewels in the crown, revenue raising, and that is the intercounty game. Whether we like it or not, it has to raise some money to be able to support every other strand of the game.
One last one. Brady fancies Leitrim, put the life savings on Monaghan. Which is fair enough. Monaghan are leading that game now 3-2.
Tight.
Leitrim just missed a great goal chance, though. See? David, you'll be glad to hear. Yeah. But Conor McManus, one from play, one free, and Conor McCarthy, point from play, has given Monaghan a 3-2 lead. There's around 12-13 minutes gone in that one. Thanks a lot for coming in, lads. Enjoy the game. Enjoy Newbridge. I will hopefully see you there for the second half. By the sounds of it, I'll be there for the glory, hopefully, at the very end. We are going to go to our man next. We're going to hear from Aaron Kernan. We also have Dave up at the game between Cavan and Tyrone, and Maura Trass is down in Newbridge, so we'll be across there for the afternoon. Hurling to come between 3 and 4, and Declan Boner from 4 o'clock, but we'll take a quick break.
Off the ball on Newstalk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.